The Internet of Things is a fancy term that means that there are going to be sensors in everything. So what the products that you buy will have a sensor, and that will be able to speak with or communicate with your credit card, with your GIS data, your geospatial data, where you are in time. And this goes home appliances, on-street sensors. And I was trying not to be too scary, so I didn't get into brain computer interfaces here, but they are absolutely setting that up.
But anyway, I'm excited to introduce Julianne Romanello, and I just spoke with her briefly. She was a professor at TU. She is so on fire about her topics that she has quit teaching, and she's a freelancer. She has four children, and this is her life because she's trying to save America. Yay! Okay. Julianne is a scholar and a researcher. She will be talking to us about the World Economic Forum and their plans to infiltrate city governments in the attempt to create 15-minute cities and other one-world order control by 2030. And you guys see it, you hear it, you know this is happening. And beyond, using climate change as their vehicle. We are so sick of climate change. Educating ourselves is the only way to combat it. I want to welcome Julianne, and we so appreciate you. Thank you so much.
All righty. Well, first, I would like to thank you so much for having me here today. It is a pleasure to speak with people who understand the severity of the crisis that we're in. I'm about to make it sound a lot worse than you probably think it is. But I pray that you'll forgive me for that. And what I'll do is I'll just jump right in with some slides and a presentation. I'll go through some of these quickly. You won't be able to read everything that I have on the screen, but I like to back what I say up with evidence. So I have lots of screenshots, and it's too much information to read. I can make these slides available after the fact, so that if you want to go back and look at those, you may. But just for the sake of sort of getting through some of these big questions, I'll try to be speedy and then save most of our time for Q&A, because it seems that, you know, people really want to ask about the specifics, talk about what we can do, and so on. So the title of my talk is Smart City Reset, Digital Driven Innovation for the Digital Economy. Okay, so this is basically what I'll go through today. What is a smart city? Is Tulsa a smart city? And I'm going to talk a lot about Tulsa, even though we're in Sepulpa, because this is a regional plan and everyone is doing the same thing. And, you know, Tulsa is the engine in this area for it. So that's why I'll focus on Tulsa. Is it a smart city? The answer is yes. Who's responsible for smarting your city? What's behind the smart city movement? And I'll talk about two trends. One is the new international economic order. That's the UN Agenda 21 program, Agenda 2030, and the Build Back Better, Great Reset, all of that. So we'll go through very quickly the NIEO and the Fourth Industrial Revolution. Has anyone heard of the Fourth Industrial Revolution?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. So we'll briefly touch on that and then, you know, sort of talk about how smart cities will affect you, especially through changes to business and finance. And one thing that I'd like to stress is that the New World Order is being implemented through business and through employers. So just at the outset, especially because, you know, we're a red state, most people are conservative leaning, and we have a tendency to distrust the government, which is good. We should distrust the government. But the government right now is a tool of business and the finance industry. Okay, so I think one important thing if we want to counter these trends is to wrap our heads around the fact that we've got to sort of throw our support behind a truly representative constitutional government rather than corporate governance or task force governance, things like that. The second thing that I'll mention that we need to just keep in mind, especially as conservatives, is that the phrase economic development sounds good, and it's going to sound really good when things get bad over the next couple of years, because the corporations and the criminals who are in office in our political institutions are wrecking the economy on purpose. Why? Because they want to implement the Build Back Better and the Great Reset and all of that. So when you hear the phrase economic development, be very, very concerned, because it is a developed economy and it's not what, you know, regular Americans think that it is. You know, we sort of think it's free enterprise and you know, free markets, but it's not. It's all controlled. So two things to remember is, one, we have to sort of throw our support behind our political institutions as they're written into law. And two, we have to be very wary of efforts to replace the activity of government with private sector activity that focuses on economic development. Okay, and so then what do we do about it? I'll leave that for the discussion. Okay, I think we can go on. If you tap the keypad at the bottom.
Oh, this right here?
Yeah, then I think, there
okay,
we go.
Gotcha.
Okay, so what is a smart city? These are some screenshots that I made from UN documents. Yes?
I have a husband that's hard of hearing. Good.
Is it, I don't know if there, maybe there's some volume control. Thank you. Okay, thank you. So I have some screenshots. This is from a 2016 report from the Commission on Science and Technology for Development from the UN. Now, you know, the US is a member of the UN, and UN resolutions are binding on us. I mean, we could debate that, right? But our political, the criminals that are in political office are acting as if it's binding, and they're operating on these UN principles. So here's a report that they have put out that defines a smart city, because a smart city is key to the New World Order. And it is, a smart sustainable city is an innovative city that uses ICTs, that's information and communication technologies, so your broadband, your data sharing, your connected sensors and traffic lights, all of that. So it uses ICTs and other means to improve quality of life. That's public services, so we're going to see health, housing, education, you know, environmental, that all falls under quality of life. To improve quality of life, efficiency of urban operation and services, and competitiveness, while ensuring that it meets the needs of present and future generations with respect to economic, social, and environmental aspects. Okay, so smart cities are the means for implementing the sustainable development agenda. And then they depend on smart infrastructure. And what is that? It's the foundation for all the key themes related to a smart city, including smart people. That means you're not going to be smart unless you are connected to the surveillance grid. Okay, smart mobility, economy. The core characteristic that underlies these components is that they are connected through, you know, wireless technologies and the web, and that they generate data, which may be used intelligently by artificial intelligence to ensure the optimal use of resources and improve performance. So this is smart infrastructure components are connected and generate data in order to optimize resource use and make us more productive. So really this is about measuring and managing all resources. Everything, including us. And I think so, it's just unbelievable. Okay, so here I have just some more definitions. We'll just go over it because I'm not sure how many of you are really, have been looking into smart cities. This is from TWI Global, which is a British industry group, but there are many American corporations that are members. It's very influential and, you know, it's just got a good summary. That's why I chose to use it. Again, we see it uses ICT technology to improve efficiency, share information, and provide a better quality of government service and citizen welfare. So that's how they're going to sell it. It's going to make government more efficient. It's going to cut costs. It's going to, transfer some topics to that might be hairy politically. It's going to transfer this to the private sector and the unbiased conclusions that AI and other 4IR technologies would make. Okay, the main goal of a smart city is to optimize city functions and promote, here you see it, economic growth. So some of the key features of a smart city are it's an infrastructure based around technology, environmental initiatives, so clean air concerns. We have those in Tulsa. You see we've got lots and lots of reporting on clean air. We're upgrading our water systems, so probably Sepulpa is doing that too. It's all related. Also, and this is key, effective and highly functional public transportation. The Smart City Agenda rolls out through the U.S. Department of Transportation and agreements with municipal governments to improve mobility strategies. And we'll look at that in just a minute. Confident and progressive city plans, that's another. So all of these vision plans. Oh, it sounds so great, right? We have a vision and it's gonna be wonderful. Or, the build back better. It's so, it's gonna be great, this happy future we're moving toward. And then people able to live, work, and play within the city using its resources. Whenever you see the phrase live, work, play, or live, work, family, or live, work, whatever, you know you're dealing with a New World Order program. Okay, they use that slogan all the time. And what it means when it says within the city is that everyone's going to be stacked and packed into a smart city.
Okay. New York City.
Yes, exactly. And Tulsa has many, many ties with financiers in New York. So we can... Okay, the use of smart cities use a variety of software, user interfaces and communication networks alongside the Internet of Things to deliver these connected solutions for the public. It's for you. The Internet of Things is a fancy term that means that there are going to be sensors in everything. So what the products that you buy will have a sensor, and that will be able to speak with or communicate with your credit card, with your GIS data, your geospatial data, where you are in time. And this goes home appliances, on-street sensors. And I was trying not to be too scary, so I didn't get into brain computer interfaces here, but they are absolutely setting that up. Okay, so the Internet of Things is actually going to include us if we don't stop this, and I think we will, but it's going to require a lot of effort. But they want to use this network of embedded sensors in everything to manage all resources. And that means to control your access to those resources. So some of the technologies that you'll see in a smart city are things like application programming interfaces, artificial intelligence, cloud computing, data dashboards, and Tulsa is full of data dashboards on homelessness counts, on equality indicators, resilience indicators, all of these different things. You'll see them at your employer. If you're in corporate America, you have leaderboards. Who's done this? Who's made this much money? Who spent this much time? These are all of these tracking dashboards that are related to this smart city project to manage your life. And I think we can go. So some of the things, this is, let me turn my page here. You know, what are some of the things that you'll see in a smart city? Okay, the IoT, Internet of Things, is allowing for adoption of these technologies for a variety of applications. Smart parking, it's already in Tulsa. You cannot park downtown without putting in your license plate, without using, I think you might be able to use cash or coin still, but that won't be for long. Digital payments, smart traffic management, all of the little boxes and cameras that are going up on the traffic signals, those are all smart city infrastructure. And it is communicating data about what we do. Now, it's sold to us like in terms of needing to provide relief for traffic congestion. Okay, well, they're actually congesting things on purpose. And, you know, I think Tulsans are able to handle the traffic congestion without having this mesh network of programmable signals. But they'll sell it to us in terms of easing traffic congestion. They'll sell it to us in terms of getting ambulances to hospitals faster, things like that. But it's actually, I mean, really, it's going to go to social credit scoring, human capital credit scoring. Okay, so, you know, you can go through this later, but you'll see rubbish collection, bins, and fleet management systems. Your trash systems are being set up to be measured and managed. So if you throw away too much stuff, if you don't recycle, you know, the Internet of Things sensors that are in those products and their packaging will be able to communicate with some type of sensor that's on your trash bin, that's on a sensor that's on the trash truck, that is going to measure and manage how much waste you generate. And I've actually stopped recycling a lot since, you know, COVID came, because, you know, that what they're going to end up doing is establishing baselines for recycling, and they're going to say, oh, well, people recycle 30% of the time, how can we move this up? So I'm trying to lower the baseline. This is going to affect your office buildings. It's going to affect parks. It's going to affect your children's schools. It will affect everything. And here's how they sell it. Smart cities can connect all manner of services to provide joined up solutions for citizens. And it's sold on efficiency, efficiency, efficiency. That's how it's sold really to conservatives, to progressives. It's sold in terms of increased access and social safety nets and so on. They've got one narrative for us, one narrative for progressives. Okay. So the roadmap for technology deployment, you know, they want to implement data collection measures, network communications, and here we get to descriptive and predictive analytics. So a smart city, what's it designed to do? It's designed to gather all of this data so that, this is again how it's sold, so that risk can be managed. As we enter into this controlled economic demolition, people are going to be very risk averse, right? And businesses are going to struggle. So they're going to want to control for all of the uncertainties and disruptions that are going to be thrown at us. And smart technology is one tool for doing that, for establishing what they call resilience. That's the ability to sort of weather the storm. So that's how it's sold to us. You're going to be able to manage risks because you're going to have so much data that you will be able to simulate any possible situation. And you can optimize your course of action based on these computer programming models and algorithms so that you can do just the right thing and remain afloat. That's how it's sold. And how is it going to affect your life? I mean, smart cities will have smart citizens. And what are they? Well, it says here, imagine citizens using technologically powerful smartphones as mini computers enhanced with built-in AI and remote learning in local and global networks of citizens. These connected smart citizens will be better equipped to be citizen scientists, journalists, peacekeepers, and environmentalists. They want us to be good global citizens, and that's what the new international economic order is really about. It's about incentivizing a moral program to make us good global citizens so that we fit within the network well. Okay. So, is Tulsa a smart city? Well, here we're in 2020, we had achieved silver designation from Michael Bloomberg's What Works Cities. Now, there are layers and layers and layers of these types of programs. So I think Tulsa is part of the Resilient Cities Network. And if I remember, that goes back, I mean, that's Rockefeller for sure. Resilience always goes back to Rockefeller. But it goes to Bloomberg and maybe Soros too. But Resilient Cities, What Works Cities, that's anytime you hear What Works, that's Bloomberg, who is a data analytics guy, right? And Stop and Frisk in New York City, that's what's coming here. But Bloomberg and Bynum and George Kaiser are all cozy, and others. So Tulsa scales up data-first innovation. If you just Google Tulsa and Michael Bloomberg, you're going to open a huge can of worms, okay? And who are some of the partners with What Works Cities? Results for America, this is Mary Fallon. She was heavily involved with Results for America. And what they do is track and trace impact. Now, impact is one of those terms that is thrown about all over, and you'll see impact reports from companies, from governments, from charities, things like that. And they are tracing the kind of change that they have made in the world. So they'll look at a baseline and some sort of intervention or program that they have performed, and then they will measure the change. And that gives you a score of impact, and that's what the new economy trades in. It's this social change, behavioral change, on a personal level, on a corporate level, on a political level. So Results for America is very, very bad. They are partners with Harvard Kennedy School of Business. Harvard is full of all kinds of New World Order policies. You can see Johns Hopkins down here, you know, responsible for the pandemic. Behavioral Insights Team, they are a group out of the UK, and Bynum has gone to, you know, meet with them in the UK several times, and they have what's called the Nudge Unit. A nudge is a little incentive. It's either a penalty or a carrot, and it encourages you to do one thing over another. And that is a tool for generating impact. So if the city of Tulsa wants to have an impact on some environmental metric, it might nudge you by sending you a text that says, remember to recycle your glass. And there, that's like sort of a nice nudge, but there are not so nice nudges that are gonna occur. And after we have had carrots for long enough, join a wellness program through your employer and you get $50 off your health insurance premium. That's an incentive that we would like, but it's gonna turn into penalties. Okay, so we'll be nudged positively for a while and then we'll be penalized. And the Behavioral Insights team, that they do a lot of behavioral psychology, is really twisted stuff. So, more Tulsa corruption. Are we a smart city? Well, here's some of the things that we're doing. It's not just the technology, but it's also innovative financing, innovative governance, and this is from a source, the New Localism. And you know, I look at a lot of these different corporate press releases and advertorials and I read most of their information. If you know how to decode it, it's a great source of insight. So the New Localism writes, and this was 2022, Tulsa, Oklahoma, we have the Tulsa Authority for Economic Opportunity. These guys are bad news, very bad news. It's a total consolidation of power. But this is part of this reforming public authorities. And what are they gonna do? They're gonna own substantial assets. This is a public-private partnership, including multiple parking structures and surface lots in downtown, large land holdings, prime for redevelopment with stack and pack smart housing, residential lots throughout the city, and a hangar leased by American Airlines, all to promote smart development. So this is another smart aspect of the city, are these new governance forms. And you can see Rahm Emanuel and Bynum. He's such a snake. So then here I have, this is from Link Tulsa. This is their build grant application. They're seeking federal monies to do what? To implement programs that provide a step forward to smart city corridors and a smart city. Flowbird, that's our parking meters, and it's all smart. And it comes through, who's partnering with the Fed, City of Tulsa, MTTA, which is like Tulsa Transit, and NCOG. Okay, NCOG is Indian Nation Council of Governments. That is, it's governance, it's a regional organization that's promoting the New World Order here. So, is Tulsa a smart city? Yes, and here's a picture of our plan. This is a 2016 plan filed with the U.S. Department of Transportation. I print this plan out and I take it to community meetings and I say, I might ask someone, a city councilor, I have our smart city plan here, and I've noticed the infrastructure going up on signals. Could you give us a status update on the implementation of this plan? And then you watch them squirm. You watch your city councilor squirm because they don't want to talk about it, because did you vote on this? No. This was submitted and it's being implemented without any voter knowledge, never mind approval. But we have it here, and you can't really see it because it's so small, but autonomous vehicles, connected network, monitor pavement, real-time traffic monitoring, supercomputer government, smart delivery, car-free zones, electric vehicle charging, open data sources, ITS architecture, let's see, Tulsa cybersecurity, incubators, all of it, it's all right there. And you know, here are some of the partners, 100 resilient cities, and you can just look through University of Tulsa. All of our universities are on board. The Oklahoma State Regents for Higher Education are absolutely pushing this agenda. It is in every single university. And they are universities, and this is every state, it's not just us, but universities are anchor institutions, and they give legitimacy to a lot of these innovative programs. So people trust them because they think, oh, well, there are unbiased researchers working on this cutting edge technology. It sounds cool, and Americans like to be doing these new innovative things. But all of your universities are basically education washing a totalitarian program. So again, that was a 2016 plan. This is a newer plan for the Tulsa Mobility Innovation Strategy. And I hope, you know, if you look through these, you'll see that they're all of these buzzwords. You just follow the buzzwords. You don't even have to follow the money, because sometimes that's harder to do. But you just follow the buzzwords, and you will identify a new world order program like this. Mobility Innovation Strategy, boom. It's new world order. What are they doing? Bike lanes. I think we're gonna see a huge propaganda push for bike lanes.
Well, I mean, Tulsa, no one rides a bike.
Nobody wants to ride a bike, right? But they're gonna tell you that everybody wants to ride a bike, and they have to do this to attract workers. No. It's all marketing. So just like I used to hear this, you know, like, oh, well, millennials, and I'm not really a millennial, I'm sort of Gen X cusp, but I would hear millennials don't want to work in a place that doesn't offer you opportunities for community service. You see it written over and over in the press. Well, actually, I didn't know any millennials that probably would have wanted to do that on their own, except that they've been told that, and then the HR people at work implement these policies. Oh yeah, we have to do it because somebody said it. And that's just this cycle that they use for everything. So you're gonna hear bike lanes. Everybody wants bike lanes. We have to attract young talent and keep people. Mm-hmm. People don't really want bike lanes. I don't think 20-year-olds want bike lanes. I'm 42 and I really don't want a bike lane. But you can see here's what they're doing, you know, with policy infrastructure, and that's a really big one. Okay, I need to zoom through. So let's skip. Who is smarting us? Well, that's my buddy George Kaiser. He's turning Tulsa into a beta city, and that means Sepulpa is a beta city, and Jinx and Broken Arrow and every place else is a beta city. We are used for pilot programs because we have a demographic that can be generalized throughout the country. Also, we are a captured audience because of different features about our state and our city that I'll skip for now. But who is doing it? Kaiser Family Foundation, Tulsa Regional Chamber, Tulsa Tech, BOK, all of these different groups. And if you start digging into it, you see that it's the same people over and over and over again. This is from NCOG. This is a 2008 plan for economic development. Anytime you see that phrase, run, or beat your representative over the head and say, don't do it. So here are a list of some of the people: Randy Miller, Kathy Taylor, Richard Carter, so on. Mike Neal, he's with the chamber.
Ted Fisher.
Ted, yes, Crete County, there you go. And so here are some of the different plans that go into it. It's all New World Order. And I think, you know, if we know who is doing it, then we can apply that pressure. Here are some more groups. If you see Metro Chamber, Workforce Tulsa, workforce is a buzzword, and that's one that really slides under the radar with conservatives because we think, oh, we want to work. We want good jobs for our kids. What they're setting up is they're not good jobs. It's all basically training young people to do the work that's necessary to fully implement the fourth industrial revolution, which is a world in which robots and programs do everything and we have VR goggles to keep us appeased. So all of these groups are... Here are some names. It's very easy to see. Okay, this is Economic Development Framework. This was paid for. It's a, you know, fancy consultant that came in, looked at Tulsa. I think this was, 2020. Here are some of the offices that are involved, and here are all the people, and how many are on the foundations and boards here in Tulsa and in the region. Everybody. Okay, so the new international economic order, I think it looks like people here understand it. From 1974, we have the UN resolution to create the new international economic order. This is, in the words of Bill Clinton, is the economy stupid? He wasn't lying. So what's it about? It's about measuring and managing resources, economic growth, environmental protection, social cohesion. And your Sepulpa, I just pulled it up last night. I didn't have a chance to go through it, but they have the 2030 comprehensive city plan. And it's all, these comprehensive plans are plans to implement the smart city model in your local area so that they can do what? Move to that new international economic order. Fourth Industrial Revolution, if you haven't heard of it, this is really important for Oklahoma because our targeted industries under the Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act, WIOA, you know, this is where there are certain industries that are targeted for promotion here. And so you'll hear your conservative representatives say, well, we need to attract these businesses because we need quality jobs. Hmm. Well, that's true on the face of it, but what's really going on is that we're implementing the fourth industrial revolution through aerospace, through drones, cybersecurity, all kinds of high-tech global supply chains, and it's going to end up leaving human beings with no work. Right. No work.
That's right.
And that's why they want to connect us to cyber physical systems. And they are not joking about it. I have a 17-minute video that I did for an Australian group where I look at 6G and Ericsson, which is partnered with the WEF, with the UN. They are absolutely serious about 6G and brain computer interface technology and turning you into part of the network. They don't want individuals. They want people to join the network. We can go on. Okay, so what's the if you combine the NIEO and the 4IR, then we get life in a smart city. And that is, we have these, it all goes to sustainable development goals. And what is it? E-health, e-learning, so telemedicine, virtual schools, connectivity, smart conservation, smart water management, e-government. You can't, at my homeowners association meeting, I had a neighbor who said, I cannot get through to the city. And Phil Lakin said, oh, well, we're working on it. No, they're actually not, because what they're doing is they're automating government. Yes. So that there is no one for you to call and talk to, and I don't know a single person who wants to talk to a robot. You know, you hear, please press one, da 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 da. It makes me want to throw the phone. That was like 20 years ago. E-banking, e-commerce, smart manufacturing, smart police. Our military and our police are going to be outsourced to robots. And, you know, I don't think that's good. Our law enforcement officers need to know that when they participate in the surveillance infrastructure, when they support programs like Flock Safety, license plate reader cameras, they are not only going to support themselves out of a job, but they are also helping to promote the totalitarian rule of these AI systems in our country. And it's very real. Okay, so I think I could go through some of the new business model and how it, this new model of capitalism, this is from the World Business Council on Sustainable Development. You can look at BlackRock, you can look at the Business Roundtable, all of the major business and trade groups, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, they are all promoting the impact economy. What that is, in just two sentences, and then I'll try to, we can do questions, is because there will be no work for anyone, no one's going to have any money to invest in anything. So economic growth is really not possible if people are unable to keep putting money into the system, right? You have to have money going into the system and moving around for real economic growth to occur. Well, they are demolishing our economy, they are demolishing our labor markets, and they're going to control our consumption of resources, and they're going to control all supply chains. That's really one thing that COVID was about, was controlling supply chains. So how on earth is the economy going to grow in that situation? Well, you move it into the metaverse, into a fake world in which you are endlessly developing human capital, because you can make people different over and over and over again, and you can say that that's valuable by arguing, we need these skills, we need these qualities, we need these attitudes, or else we won't be resilient, or else we will not be able to compete in a global economy. So the impact economy is one that's really about controlling our perceptions about what outcomes are needed from human beings. Are you a good global citizen? Do you support the community? Do you recycle? Do you eat meat? Do you drive too far? And those kinds of behavioral outcomes are going to be financialized, and we're moving actually away from money altogether. And so corporations are going to be trading in these values, in they're going to be trading in the way that they are able to benefit the public. Well, you know, what constitutes benefiting the public? That can be manipulated ad infinitum, right? I mean, we've seen them do that. So the impact economy is going to pursue true value, which is good social outcomes. Oh, business needs to correct all the wrongs that capitalism has led to. How are they going to do it? By delivering public services. Of what sort? Oh, any sort. Veterans programs, environmental initiatives, toys for tots, whatever, you name it. And that's going to be tied to a corporation's worth. And that goes into ESG scoring, which is social credit scoring for corporations. And corporations are going to manage their workforces, their employees, to make sure that their employees are good global citizens, because that's how corporations will increase their value for in the eyes of investors, is by making sure that their employees are good global citizens. And there's not going to be work for those employees to do, but there's a lot of training. So instead of building a pipeline or building a car or making cookies and baking things, you will go through endless corporate development, training, sensitization stuff, which I couldn't stand that.
Me either. That's why I left it.
You know, I wasn't in corporate America. My husband is, and it's absolutely rolling out at his company. And he works for a pipeline. you know, conservative Oklahoma pipeline. So it's coming, and that's the new economy. And so all of that smart city infrastructure with the Internet of Things is going to be tied to digital identity. That's to measure and manage those indicators of whether or not you are being a good global citizen. So that's what's going on. And yeah, I'll take any questions. And oh, how do we fight it? Maybe we could talk about that. I think it's really, it needs to be at the state level, because if you look at what they want to do, they want to really make, they want to stack and pack us into these mega cities that where we can be controlled, and they're going to be basically charter cities. So, you know, huge company towns, and it's going to be the Fed sort of operating on those cities, but it's all through corporations behind the politicians. So they want to get rid of state governments. And if we as Oklahomans, people as Kansans, as Utahns, can unite with people from the cities, people from the rural areas, then we can, I think, really pressure our state representatives and senators to put some teeth in our state constitutions and then maybe rein in the criminals who are in the Fed. And we've got plenty of criminals in state government too. It's going to take a huge effort, but because this system runs on reputation capital, that is public perception, then, you know, we do have sway over elected officials here if we get loud enough.
Really loud.
So they have to be so afraid of the public and embarrassed by the public that they will do what they should do, even against, you know, intense pressure from corporations to do otherwise.
You want to have a question?
How do we, at the local level, affect change? This is on. How do we, at the local level, affect change with our mayoral and other administrations that are leading us down paths, or leading, not us because we're not given the opportunity to willfully, you know, follow, but how do we change that? Is it different administration, or what is it?
I mean, I think it has to do with educating the people. I mean, I think we have to have a massive public awareness campaign. You just teach people the top 10 buzzwords, and you say innovation, sustainability, resilience, equity, and then you tell our neighbors what they mean, and we explain it, and if they hear it enough, like, lots of people have a clue that there's something that's really wrong, but people don't trust themselves. And that's a major problem. So we've got to get lots of conversation going that's going to empower individuals to trust themselves and say, oh, no, I actually know what is going on. Here's what they're doing. You're doing the impact economy. You're putting us into smart cities because you want to track this and you want to make big bets on behavioral outcomes. And you don't have to have all the research that I have in order to back it up. I mean, I can give you stuff to back it up, but if people will just start talking about it publicly at the water cooler, at church, at the park, wherever, then we each individually get the nerve to tell our officials, no, I know. And when they hear it enough, because a lot of our officials are cowards, then they will start to crack, I think. So I think it has to do with massive public education and then organization from city to city so that we can get these state defenses up and say, look, this is not what we want in the United States. We do not want to order things from robots all the time. We do not want to work from home behind our VR goggles and be turned into global citizens. No surveillance. So I think some of the key issues to just to bring up with your neighbors, look at the surveillance, that's rolling out. It's cashless tolls. These are access control mechanisms. So, you know, the Tulsa 15-minute city, they don't want to talk about 15-minute cities in the U.S. They call them three-mile cities, or really the phrase is transit-oriented development. Run from the phrase development all the time. But you can see that, you know, there's the new extension, 75 and I-44, that big spaghetti. That is a ring that they are implementing to have the 15-minute city is going to be inside of that ring. So you talk about the surveillance, like the cameras, the access controls, the digital identity, social credit scoring, because ESG is corporate social credit scoring, but how are corporations going to move up in their rankings? It's not by environmental initiatives, because one, those are bunk, and two, everyone's going to be doing the same thing. It's not going to be by the G, the governance, because you can only get your corporate board to filled with different demographics to a certain point, right? But you can endlessly manipulate the S, which is the social, which is your workforce. And so what they want to do is have corporations are going to hire you only if, and this is where it goes to children. You know, my oldest is 11, so, and I've got four who are going to have to live in this messed up world if we don't stop it. But they're going to get an entire transcript of a child's life. Did they share at school? Did they volunteer? Did they say all of the good words? If not, you won't be hired. Or there is going to be very careful algorithm predictive profiling that's going to say, oh, this person's very adaptable and can be manipulated many times, and that's a big profit center. Uh-huh.
Just for everyone here, the creek of turnpike all the way around is now all completely taken away, and there are only getting their tags or your
clip. Yeah, it's so, I mean, it's going to be a cashless economy, and it's all done through these cameras. So, you know, your license plate is going to be, there's going to be, we'll have cameras to take photos of that, and it's going to be tied to your driver's license, your credit card, your this, that, and the other. And you will have no opportunity to say, no, I don't want to pay, or anything like that. Really, you don't even need a chip in your hand, because the cameras and facial recognition is so fine-tuned that you're already identifiable. Mm-hmm.
Are you aware of the Mike Gill allegations and evidence out of New Hampshire? Mike Gill?
No. Uh-uh.
Or your cameraman, Mike Gill? Because I know General Flynn knows all about his evidence. Do you work with General Flynn?
No, I don't.
Okay. Do you have a comment about the Israeli aspect of Tulsa and the 8200 taking over to you? Because you used to talk
One question per person. We got a lot of people.
Oh, well, just the Tulsa connection with the Israeli tech, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I mean, we do, we have, if you look, so, you know, I started into this because of a takeover of TU. And as I started asking, what are they doing? Why are they destroying a good liberal arts university? One key component of it, it's in the strategic plan for the University of Tulsa, is that they want to create a cybersecurity empire. And this is through Team 8, and which goes back to Unit 8200 of Israeli intelligence and George Kaiser Family Foundation in the city of Tulsa. So when I first started looking into this, we are getting so much investment by these Israeli cyber companies that when you look at what a smart city is and how it has to be managed, you know, there's a huge emphasis on security, and someone's got to run all of that data and ensure that it's secure. Well, it's not our domestic institutions that are doing it. It's a foreign government that's doing it. And that's something that, you know, we just have to face the reality of that.
I'm going to encroach
major
on the questioners here, but what is the incentive for these crazy-ass liberal people? What is their incentive other than Are they that demented that they want a socialized communistic society? Is that, I mean,
you know,
what they want for their kids as well?
I think, you know, I think the progressives have gotten on. I think actually real progressives don't want any of this. And they're worried about privacy, and they're worried about education and the privatization of education. So, you know, if we want to unite and fight this, I think we're going to have to sort of find where we have these, you know, overlapping concerns. But I think a lot of it has had to do with the behavioral psychology research shows that one of the most powerful motivators for human beings is the feeling that we are contributing to the greater good and that we're helping others. And so I think a lot of people who lean left have really been brought into this system unknowingly, because they don't know what the words mean either, but they've been brought in through these appeals to the idea of doing well for people who are less fortunate, you know. And so I think we've got to sort of understand that and realize that desire that probably we all have has been weaponized. You know, we do want to do well by our fellow human beings.
We are like almost out of time.
I got one more. Let's do two more.
Sorry, guys.
Two more. Go ahead.
My name's Rodney. I'd like to make a statement. When I was 6 years old, it was the first time I heard about the Communist Party. The Communist Party did this, and they're still doing it, and they're complicit with our government. There was a senator in 1950, when I was 6 years old, I already talked. Why aren't the American people standing up and saying that, helping him and do the things that need to be done, ridding him of communists? Now, all of our universities, all of our schools, and they're all liberal.
Yep. Yeah.
That is because they were made that way on purpose.
Yeah.
I've got much more I could say, but
we're out of time. Okay, one more back here.
I wanted to ask if you think that it would be beneficial then for us to stand up and require that each of our communities be representative of the people in the community and say no to any further outlying of the Tulsa County initiatives, and say not in our city. Our city will be representative of our culture that we have, and we'll make a decision for our own city and say no to Tulsa.
I think that's
yes.
Where the city council comes in.
Yes, I think you have to do that. And I think if the smaller towns that are outside of Tulsa start doing that, then the people who have some sense who are in Tulsa are gonna unite with you all and with each other there, and then we can start to chip away at this, because it is a tight-knit club, and it's funded by insane amounts of money and power. They own all of downtown. They own everything. But we have truth on our side, and I do believe we have the Lord on our side.
Amen. One more question. Where's all the money coming from?
Where? Well, I mean,
they print it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I've been banking. They literally, the Fed Reserve is a captive outside. There's no boundaries. There's no country for the Federal Reserve. The same people that, the 13 families that own the Federal Reserve own the IMF.
Yeah. Yes. I mean,
the
Bank of International Settlements. There. So that's why our system, they have to have all of this surveillance in place, because our debt-based system that is running on tons and tons of fake money, it's going to collapse, and then there's going to be social chaos. So you have to have all of the surveillance in place to keep people locked up and measured and managed, so that we don't, you know, go 1776 again. Yeah, but that's why they want to get rid of money. Yeah, so, yeah. Well, thank you all so much. I appreciate it.